Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His word. Heavenly Father, we come before You expecting to be fed by You, and we ask, O Lord, that You would please feed and nourish our souls with our Lord Jesus Christ and with the glorious gospel that is given to us in Him. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know that we just started a series through 1 Thessalonians. I'm not confused. I know they both start with T, but we are just doing this because it's Reformation Day coming up, so and Communion this morning as well, so I changed it up a bit. So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 1. We'll really be focusing our attention on verses 7 through 12. But for context purposes, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, as we come to the end of the month of October and Reformation Day, as I said, is only a few days away, it is always a good thing for us to be reminded of why that date in 1517 was such an important date, when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. It is important so that we learn the lessons of the past and never return to the false teachings that were so prevalent at that time. But this morning we also have the privilege of partaking of the Lord's Supper. And as we're going to see, I hope this morning, we will see that there are a lot of reasons that the Reformation was necessary for and necessary for our understanding of God and the gospel. but also of the Lord's Supper and the realities that we celebrate in what feast the Lord has prepared for us. And so, as we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 here, just for a second, I hope we get a little bit of an understanding of just how precious these words are. All of God's Word, of course, is precious to us, but to understand a little bit of the context, 2 Timothy is likely the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote before he was martyred in Rome. He's writing this, as he says here, you see here, while he's in prison. And so we're looking at some of the last words that Paul writes to his beloved brother and disciple, Timothy. And you can see in the opening verses of this letter that Paul is encouraging Timothy. He is reminding Timothy of the strength of faith that God gave to him and the certainty of his calling to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes the nickname that we give to Timothy is Timid Timothy, because he kind of seems to struggle with that. And you can see the Apostle Paul here bearing sort of that weight and carrying Timothy and saying, look at the wonderful gospel realities that are yours. Don't forget them. And be reminded of the courage that those are supposed to give you. Paul and Timothy experienced together the frustration, the disappointment, the discouragement, the depression, the self-doubt, the glaring weaknesses that they had that were put on display for all to see, the opposition of the world and even of those in the church and the attacks of the evil one. Paul understood how all of this can eat away at a minister of the gospel, cause them to be afraid. Afraid that their own sins are leading people away from Christ. Afraid that their own weaknesses are hindering the people of God from growing in Christ to their full potential. Afraid that they're not connecting with the congregation they're serving in their sermons and showing the glories of their Savior. Afraid that they said the wrong thing to that person that would unnecessarily wound them, discourage them, or give them the wrong direction in the situation. Afraid of the pressures and forces of this world always assaulting the church. And many more besides. And so Paul reminds Timothy of his calling, that he's called by God, and that God has gifted him for the tasks that were set before him. You can apply that to the particular callings that you have of father, mother, child, sibling, friend, student, employer, employee, and all the various callings that we have in this life. We all have fears. Sometimes those fears are all-consuming. We are like the disciples in the boat in the midst of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, struggling and straining in fear that at any moment the boat could capsize and the storm would overcome us. But brothers and sisters, what the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy of here and what he's reminding us of is that we must remember who is in the boat with us. And even when it seems like Jesus is sleeping, we have to remember who is in control of the storm. For even as Jesus in his humanity was sleeping in that boat, his divinity was upholding the entire universe. We mustn't forget that. And even now, Jesus is reigning over all things. There may be times where we wonder, where are you, Lord? But we have to remember the truth. Do not be afraid, because our God is with us all of the time. God has not given us over to a spirit of fear. I want us to take a moment and breathe that statement in deep breaths. Our God, in everything that He has done for us and everything that He has told us in His Word, does not want us to be afraid. It is the number one command that Jesus gives in the New Testament. Do not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord really and truly does love us. Just as parents seek to comfort their young children from the nightmares and monsters of the night, telling them that there is nothing to be afraid of, so our God comes to us and reminds us that we are so sure in Christ that there is nothing to be afraid of. This is why any teaching that says that you could lose your salvation, or that you must contribute to your salvation in order to be saved, or God will only do great things in your life if you have enough faith, all of that is the wisdom of men and not of God, from the lies of Satan and not the truth of God. There are multiple reasons for why we know this from God's Word, but even here in our text we can see a great reason. Our God loves us. If you love someone, you never want them to doubt whether you love them, whether they are loved by you or not. I don't think it would be a healthy marriage if both of the spouses were wondering whether the other one actually loved them or not. None of us would say that's a healthy relationship, would we? I hope not. If so, might need some marriage counseling. Well, God wouldn't want any kind of relationship like that with us, especially if He is the one who is love itself. All the false gospels of this world rule people through fear. Think about that for a moment. Every single false religion and false gospel in this world seeks to rule people through fear. Why? Because that's how Satan rules. That's how authority is expressed in the kingdom of darkness. Our God does not give us a spirit of fear. He does not want us to be afraid for a moment. In fact, He wants to show us that we have every reason to be comforted in every moment of our lives. Hear what the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You got to get these words. Because as He is, Jesus, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You see in those wonderful verses that our God wants us to know that we are loved by him and that there is nothing in this life that we have to be afraid of. And he doesn't just say that. He grounds it in the truth that just as Christ is glorified, we are glorified in him. That just as Christ is in heaven, we will be with him. It's been said by many, many in many different ways. The saints in heaven are happier than we are, but they are no more secure. That is the surety of our gospel. That is the surety of God's love for us. Brothers and sisters, we do not have to be afraid of God's wrath. We do not have to be afraid of our guilt and shame. We don't have to be afraid of hell. We don't have to be afraid of what other people think of us. We don't have to be afraid of who may persecute us. We don't have to be afraid of what we will eat or where we will live or what we will wear or anything for body or soul. For our triune God has and is and will take care of it all. Our destiny is secure. If you have Christ by faith, you have everything good. You have riches that neither rust nor moth can destroy. You have a glorious position in heaven that no one can change. You are a child of God. You are a citizen of the New Jerusalem, purchased with the blood of Christ. Do not be afraid. For our God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does that mean exactly? Well, in fact, we have to go backwards before we can go forwards. Sometimes that has to happen in life. Well, we have to do it too. What, or rather who, is the spirit that is mentioned in verse 7? We don't have time to get into this, but why spirit in verse 7 is lowercase instead of uppercase, baffles my mind, because almost all available evidence would point us to the fact that Paul is meaning that the Spirit does not come to us to cause us to fear. The Holy Spirit is given to us in power, in love, and to give us a sound mind. Paul is reminding Timothy here that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within us to cause us to fear in order to control us. But instead, the Holy Spirit dwells in us in power, love, and giving us a sound mind. What do those three things communicate to us? The Holy Spirit dwells in us with power, resurrection power, born again, new life power. Power to believe in Jesus. Power to do God's will. Power to resist sin. That is how the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We mustn't forget that. Sometimes we become defeatists. And we think, well, I'm just a sinner and I'm just going to keep on sinning and that's just the way it is until I go to glory. And that's true. We're not perfected in this life. But part of Christ coming and setting us free is also setting us free from the bondage of sin, which means we can already now, yes, in small things, small beginnings, but already now begin living in holiness before our God. That there are moments in our lives where we can resist temptation and where we can walk with the Lord faithfully. That we already now can live in the heroic victory that Christ has earned for us. We also see that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, with love. The Holy Spirit is constantly with us, not only as a gift of the Father and the Son's love for us. Think about that. The Holy Spirit is the Father and the Son's love gift to us. But also think about this, the Holy Spirit, who is God, who is love, is dwelling in us. So no matter where we are or what is happening to us, we never have to fear. For our God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is always with us in love. And that will never change. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us also, gifting us with a sound mind. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. To think correctly through the various situations that we are put in. We sometimes think that our ability to think rightly originates in our own heads. That our mental strength is our own. We sort of imbibe the Descartes idea of I think, therefore I am. Descartes meant a whole lot more by that phrase than what I'm going to point out here. Not really any of what he meant was Christian by any means. But we easily fall into the idea that our ability to think starts with us and our powers and our greatness. But who made our mind? Who gave us our mind? And importantly, who has renewed our mind? Well, of course, it's God. And for us who are born again, we can be thankful every day that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us in resurrection power and infinite and eternal love, divine love, but also giving us the power to think rightly in all situations. That though the tempter may come and try and convince us that God doesn't love us, we know better. Whether we're wondering whether the storms of life are going to drown us, we are reminded by the Holy Spirit that our God is with us and secured our destiny, body and soul. And so as we approach the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not have to be afraid in the slightest. Yes, we should tremble in His holiness, but we shouldn't be afraid. For our God dwells with us in resurrecting and redeeming power. We come confidently to the table because we are born again. We are washed clean in the blood of Christ. We come confidently to the table because we know that we will be received graciously. For we are loved of God. And we know these things because the Holy Spirit has given us a sound mind to see Christ, to see God, to see the gospel at work in us and in our lives. And so I want us to close also with what Paul says in the next few verses. Therefore, or because of what we just looked at, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed to suffer in bearing witness to then what we read in verses 9 and 10. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Brothers and sisters, do not be ashamed to say that you believe in the doctrine of election. That's right here in this text. Don't be ashamed to say, I know upon whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He will keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Don't be ashamed to tell others that you are saved. That you are washed clean from all of your sins by the sacrificial death of Jesus. Those things are not going to sound, I should say, those things are going to sound increasingly strange. Not just to people who are in the church, because that's happening too. But they will sound increasingly strange to those in the world. Was just talking to someone the other day that had never even heard of what a pastor was before. So I got to explain what I do. Never even heard that. This is the world that we're living in. I didn't even really know who Jesus was. You'd think in Canada that would be everybody would know that, but no. But do not be afraid to explain the good news of Jesus. Boast in the cross of Christ. Do it with confidence. Do it with faith. For you have dined with Christ. You have tasted and seen that He is good. Brothers and sisters, I do not give you a new commandment. I give you only that which I have received from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of coming to the table of our Lord. Do not be afraid of sharing the good news of Jesus. For the Holy Spirit dwells in you in power, in love, and to give you a sound mind. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We are so thankful that You love us perfectly. We thank You that Your love never causes us to fear, but causes all of our fears to be relieved. Oh Lord, we thank You that as we come into Your presence, we never have to wonder what You will do to us. Because we know
we know with absolute certainty that you will always receive us in love. And what a gracious Father you are to us, Lord, that even when we go astray and go and live in the pigsty, we know the very moment we come back to you in repentance and faith, you will receive us with open arms, ready to embrace us and bless us with every good and perfect thing. O Lord, we praise you this day. And as we come to the table of our Savior, we pray, O Lord, that we would remember the glorious sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, but eat and drink in confidence, knowing your love for us. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.